Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump rules. Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you. And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go, so in. I'm a girl with a friend, you'll be both in.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Sexy Unique Podcast. I'm Lara, and here with me today is Chrissy Milazzo. Whoa. Noted friend of the pod, writer, Lawler.
Thank you so much. You that means a lot to me. I love the friend podcasts. Those are my most valued friendships, are my cherished podcast relationships.
It's a currency all its own in this economy.
Yeah, it really is. It's important.
Podcast. Yeah.
This is my first remote podcast. Not that I'm often a guest of podcasts, but when I am, it's a big thing. And this is my first quarantine appearance. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for doing this. I really lost steam this week in caring at all about Vanderpump Rules. And then in this episode, when I watched it, this was the first time I've ever just turned an episode, began texting or scrolling Instagram during an episode, then got sick of having background noise on, and then turned it as soon as Jax was talking about grass. I was I've had enough. And I turned it off, and I just never returned to it that night, which has never happened to me before.
And then today, did you just wake up wait, I have to podcast?
Yeah, normally I will set something up for Wednesday, so then I have a day to edit, and I'm not rushed, and it's part of even just my self-care to not rush it. But then I was just having a crisis of faith because I was shocked at my own behavior of turning it off and losing interest. And then I was just is the world, is my world ending? Is this a crazy shift? What do I do? Should I just strike? Should I just refuse to cover this week? And then I was I can't do that to the readers.
I do support the strike. I mean, I think it would need to, you'll have to figure out an active strike.
Yeah.
Cause I was listening to a recent, I think it was a bonus episode with you and Carrie, or maybe it was a regular one, but you were talking about is it even ethical for me to podcast about this anymore because it's so bad and I'm just keeping the Vanderpump Rules economy going. And I was walking outside in my mask, sweating and having difficulty breathing through it. Cause all my masks are DIY folded up t-shirts and my whole lower face was sweating and I just went yes into my mask.
Well, yeah, I just I entered crisis mode of it and then I was late last night, then I was stressed, so I just stayed up till 4 a.m last night for truly no reason, which has been a quarantine activity that I choose to do 1 to 2 times a week.
Yeah, same.
And then at one point, right before I went to bed, I was you know what? That's what they want. They want you to stop talking. They want to silence you. And had a whole... So it's been I've been on a mental journey.
And then I saw your bat signal. And I texted you and I was yeah, I'm here. I'm free.
Yeah, and then I was okay, I've got to get my shit together and figure it out and push through. No, don't I'm let them make me here. Give up. Yeah, I'm thank you. This all comes down to just like thank you for being here. thank you for holding space for me in these troubled and uncertain times.
Yeah, I was at the ready, and I like immediately when you texted me and you were like, would you be down to do this today? I was like, immediately went to like the joke everyone keeps doing that I fucking hate on like work calls where they're like, is this a good time? And I'm like, everyone's like, yeah, I'm really free. And then we all have to laugh and I just want to like kill myself. And I just like reflexively texted you back and I was like, my schedule's really open. And I was like,
no, then I'm like, same, lol. And it's just like, wow, okay, we're all in this together.
Yeah, it's the worst. But I am glad that we're here. I was glad to watch, because I watched it on Tuesday when it was, that's when it's on, right? Another classic joke. Mm-hmm. What day is it even? But I watched it then and like, I texted you because I was feeling like some happiness for Stassi and it was really like shocking to me. And then watching it today, like on Tuesday, I was watching it like had just gone on a long walk, like was, you know, happy and sober. And then last night I drank like a really bad wine and I woke up today feeling hungover. And then I watched it and I was like, this is exactly what it should be. Mm-hmm. And I felt very bad. And I was like, this is the right way to watch this show.
Yeah, I think I just had a totally like flip-flopped experience for that. Because I watched it on Tuesday. I was like just feeling, I think, stressed out and had a bad day. So I was like, I can't, like I actually like can't take this. And then today, forcing myself to watch it to take notes, I ended up feeling like, okay, like, yeah. I was like, okay.
Maybe we'll balance each other out.
Yeah. So it's just like it's a real roller coaster of energy.
Yeah. I wanted you to talk about your, we were talking about stress dreams.
Yeah.
And I really wanted you for the readers to speak on
the latest saga.
Your latest.
Because like, I'll stay up till like 4 a.m. and then I'll go to sleep and then I'll be like, I'll sleep in or stay in bed till like noon or whatever. Cause I'm like, right. It's really important to me to get 8 hours. Like I'm not going to.
Yeah. That like, needs
I'm not going to try and get up early for what? And so, but I'll start waking up like around like, you know, in normal morning hours and then just like go back to sleep. And that's when I'll just have tons of stress dreams that are really vivid. Right. And I had one that I like went to Goop headquarters / just like Gwyneth Paltrow's like compound.
Okay.
And like, let me see if I can accurately like remember, like I went there and it was very beautiful. There was like a heart made of like amethyst crystals on the outside of the building. Yeah. And it was like cool, like chic, like modern design, but also with like a like a rustic element.
Was but it then, like near a beach or was it like?
No, it was more like a neighborhood. It was like had a Brentwood feel to it.
Okay.
Then we were, Gwyneth and I were just like one-on-one at one point. But the twist of it was that like everyone that went in there sat basically like once you were in, you like couldn't leave. And then you would eventually get like drugged and thrown into like, you'd be like imprisoned there and like forced to either like undergo torture of some sort or like you would just be like a prisoner of war at the Goop compound. And so I saw it like happening to people, but I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Wow. But then for some reason was just like chilling with Gwyneth and like enjoying our chance to like really connect one-on-one. And I thought we were making
Last Supper.
Yeah, like, I thought we were really, like, we were really getting along like a house on fire. Like, things were looking good. Then I made a joke to her, like, a really in poor form joke that, like, haunted me even when I was, like, waking up in the dream, like, after the dream, being like, I should not have said that. Where she said something, and I was like, oh, yeah, like, that's the type of man you're into, like, and made, like, a joke about her father passing or something, and then she really did not, she didn't like that, and then I was like, I'm so sorry, and it was a horrible joke, and I was like, why did I say that? then I became like a prisoner of war for a while, or like tried to like, no, I kind of tried to help people and free them. But then we all ended up like just
the Underground Railroad.
Yeah, a little bit. And then we all just ended up like going back to Goop and like willingly submitting ourselves to like prison.
I think this is great. Really good like screenplay going.
Yeah, it was
really good outline.
It was great. And I both loved it and it was a great mix of like excitement and deep fear and terror.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's more detail than I've tried to like journal some of my dreams, but then I was on like a fucking Zoom call with my friends and we were talking about having stress dreams and I was like, oh, I had like a really good one and was sort of like bragging. I was like, it was crazy. Hold on. Let me like pull out my notes. And I got out my notebook and it just said like, they were just all like unintelligible, like chicken scratch. And it was like outside in a field, white Beyonce. Like, totally. And they were like, were you white Beyonce or was there just a white Beyonce? And I was like, I don't know. And they were like, okay. Do you guys want to know the gender of my friend's baby? And just like moved on to like talking about people's actual lives. And I was like, yeah, okay.
Gonna have to so get they, more detailed.
Yeah, I wake up thinking like, oh wow, that was like brilliant, that was so crazy, and then I like write down notes and it's actually my mind is just like mush. I guess I'm just bad at recording it, but yeah. Oh well.
Oh wow.
I wait. Yeah.
I need it. Like I'm like, is this a good, like it feels like I'm like, did Gwyneth dream about me?
Have you ever tried to like parse your dreams in therapy?
Yeah, I have. But I also am like, unless it's like some sort of really intense dream that I don't think that I can figure out what it means, which I usually can. It's like, I'm not going to waste my precious therapy hours on like that type of
going vibe. Over it.
Yeah. Like some I definitely have, but it's not like a go-to. I usually have like something either very pressing to talk about.
I haven't had anything to talk about. So I've been trying to like talk about dream stuff. And I was like, told her about the white Beyonce thing. And she was like, really got nothing. And I was like, yeah, no, she was like, she always goes, what do you make of that? And I was like, I don't know. And she was like, uh-huh. So me and my therapist are both like bored as shit.
Mine has been on, truly has been on maternity leave from mid-February to now. So I'm like really a shocking time to not have a therapist.
Yeah.
But I believe that it should be up, like as soon as quarantine ends, I think that her maternity leave will be up.
That's cool. That's so good.
Then we can like resume.
When do you think it'll end? When in your mind?
Like, I don't know. I thought that it was ending in May.
I don't know.
I thought it was ending May 15th.
I think that's like our check-in date but I get everything confused between like all the states. I'm like, never have I known so much about so many states. I'm like, we have way too many states. I hate this because I'm reading about, my family's in New Jersey. So I'm reading about New Jersey. New York is like the epicenter. I'm reading about New York and then I'm reading about California. And it's just like, and then all these like flyover states where people are protesting and having guns and shit on the state capitol steps or whatever. So I like, yeah. I love that picture I sent you so much.
I love their whole vibe for them. Like,
yeah,
truly. I don't know what city it was.
All of the protesters have been like, obviously I don't condone it, support it or anything, but I do think they've been like super funny because everyone's been like in front of a Baskin Robbins being like, why can't I have my ice cream cake? Or like showing their roots and being like, I need to get my roots touched up.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're wearing like a psychotic mask and it is, you know, we are desperate for entertainment. So I do appreciate that aspect.
Yeah, it's extremely entertaining. I don't want to be, it's like a Vanderpump Rules. Like, I don't want to be anywhere near it, but I want to see it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which brings us to
this week's episode. That was a great transish. You're a natural.
Thank you so much. It really means coming from you.
To really, like, from the microphone to the transition, you're just like killing the game.
Oh yeah, I have a microphone right now because a long time ago, 42 years ago, was gonna start a podcast, but then I was like, wait, I don't have any ideas. I was like, I'll just continue to like listen to the podcasts I listen to. I don't think I really need to contribute. And then I just put it in a closet. And then today I was like, oh my God, this is perfect.
Yeah, there's still time. I mean, I think most people with podcasts have no idea. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to lie and say the idea of a quarantine podcast has not crossed my mind. But again, I'm just like, oh, I don't know. Like Chris Black already started one. I'm like, it's already one, so I don't see why I would need to contribute.
I know. As soon as that happened, I was like, damn, I should just quit Babe again.
Yeah, it's over.
It's fucking done.
Why bother? No point. Bring us to this podcast.
My first impression before like finishing this episode, I was like, thank God the season is nearing a bitter end. But I do wish, like, I also then got even further depressed. And part of the reason for staying up till 4 a.m. was I watched last night's Summer House and then realized that next week is the end of Summer House. So then I actually, like, I don't know what to do because...
Wow.
Then, like, I can't even actually say it. Like, I will get emotional because... then we don't have this is actually PMS because I could cry if I thought about this for too long, but like Danny Pellegrino pointed this out at like the beginning of Corona. He was like, what's gonna happen with Summer House? Like, if they can't go film in the summer, they're not gonna be able to film until 2021, and we won't have a new Summer House till 2022. And even saying that right now, I'm gonna put my head through a window.
I just can't imagine Andy will let that happen. Like, I feel like, one, he's been talking shit. Like he said in one interview, he was like, we have enough Bravo content to get us through years of this. Like,
really?
He's like,
then where is it? Then where?
I know.
This is my protest.
Like,
yeah.
You should all, like, all the podcasts should unionize, like you and Danny and like everyone else who pods in this universe should unionize and demand that Andy release the tapes like from the vault. Be like, if you don't start doing a weekly special with unseen footage, we will not podcast ever again. And Andy would probably, of course, be like, okay.
Like, yeah, he's like, great. Like, no one ever asked you to weigh in.
Please leave me alone. Here's a restraining order.
But my protest is like storming the West Village.
And he's like, okay, cool. You have coronavirus now. Please go home. But outside of that, like, I feel like Summer House, they'll just film like a New York, like Summer House in the city or something. They have to like do something. And it's not like these people, what are their jobs? Like publicist, like data entry, like all of their, I hate all their jobs.
Yeah, their jobs are like fake jobs.
I'm a graphic designer. No, you're not. Shut the fuck up.
I love, my favorite thing is like none of them actually, like the jobs are not super real. And like, it's all just, I think pretty much kids with a lot of just like family money who like, I mean, it's a complete escapist. Like it has no basis in reality whatsoever, but that's why I love it. But yeah, I need them.
Might be the only one who like actually worked in a real way before and then still like the job. Hannah, what's her
name? Yeah. Hannah Burner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She seems like she was a like normal person before and then was like, I'm getting on this show, like you guys are doing a horrible job. She was like, I'm pulling up with this gay guy. Who is that guy that's like not on? Jordan,
who's kicked out, thank God.
He launched that app that was like,
what was his app? I don't even think I dissociated whenever he was on the screen, so I literally
I don't think they really talked about it, but my friend had sent it to me because she was like, what is this? And she's not even like a Bravo person. She was just like, this is like one of the most sort of egregious startups I've seen. And it's an app that like just gives you captions for your Instagrams that are supposed to be like funny. So you like pick like categories. It's like selfie or like some, I don't really know how it works, but it's like they have pre-made captions for you. So it's like if you are so dead inside and lack any sort of personality or thought that you just want to post and like you need someone else to ghostwrite for you, like here you go. It's really, really dark.
It's like, so it's like AI captions.
I don't think it's like AI. I think it's just like basically if someone were to hand you a spreadsheet of captions, it would be like that. But it's just like in app form.
Damn. So if there could be like, if a lot of people started using it, then you would just have like lots of people with the same captions.
I think they've never had that problem probably because they don't, because people don't use it, I imagine. But that was like his job. And I was like, okay, yeah. So where we're at. And then like the other jobs are like, obviously like a rosé company and like, or something. You should start an investigative podcast into why Carl's head is like that.
Yeah, I'm ready to do like a full wellness check on Carl. Like I need people with boots on the ground in New York because I'm like, I think he's unwell.
You
based
think?
On how he's like been portrayed, I'm like, is he like just a lost alcoholic? Like what is he doing?
I mean, the answer with anyone on Bravo was always yes.
Yes. But like, there's moments. Have you watched the season?
I'm not up to date. I'm like a few episodes behind.
Okay. There's a moment where like last night they had a roast for, I love a roast at any, any show, but they had like a roast for everyone at dinner.
The talents of this cast.
And they all had to like insult each other. It was just a chance for them to like talk shit to each other. But then stood up and said things that like didn't even make sense. He would just like say a sentence. He would be like, don't complain. Told Amanda, he was like, don't complain about cooking when you're marrying someone whose last name is Cook. And then just stood there. And I was like, you're under citizen's arrest. I'm placing you on a psychiatric hold for 72 hours so we can get to the bottom of what's wrong.
I love that. I once was like on a deep like summer house social media dive because I was high, and that's like my favorite thing to do when I'm high is go on Instagram and like look at like what the cast of Vanderpump Rules is doing, like maybe pop into the Kardashians. And so that night I was like all up in the summer house cast and I looked at Carl's tagged photos and then I immediately saw a tagged photo of him and my ex, Brandon. And I was like, did you do a comedy show with Carl from summer house? And he was like, oh, okay. Like I can explain.
I'm like ready to call Brandon and get to the bottom of that.
Brandon definitely has podcasting equipment at home, so you can do a little segment. But it was like some show, like some a comedian woman, this woman hosts like a show that's like basically she has like a fuckboy guest every time and does a segment with them. And then other stand-ups just do stand-up. So Carl was like the fuckboy of the night. And I was like, to Brandon, I was like, is everything like, okay? Like, are you good? Like, what's going on? And I had to do like a wellness check, but everything was fine. But yeah, it was hard for me to imagine. And it sounds like I was right. Like Carl having like anything to say, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it hasn't slowed down my attraction to him. If anything, it's like created a new layer. Like there's a new facet because I'm like, it's hard
for me
to relate.
What is the attraction to Carl?
He's a tall.
What do you mean?
He's tall, handsome, has like a kind of non.
Handsome is definitely debatable in this context.
He has a nice smile.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. I think if you have to like really then start to get into his personality or reach it, it's like beneath that, definitely. It's just like a sea of red flags. And so
his voice is also weird.
I like the voice.
It's like deep, but with spikes of sort of like pubescent, like cracking.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. There's something, he's very uncanny. And then I can sort of get on board because, like, I was thinking about this last night. Did you read Normal People? Or have you watched the show?
No, I have it. It's like both on my list.
Yeah. I opened the book and it was in quarantine when I finally opened that book. And then, like, in all of this, I'm just like, I can't read.
I can only watch and speak.
So then I heard that, the series was coming out and I was like, okay, great. because usually I'm fine with like watching something and then reading it or like whatever. So I started watching the series last night and one of the main characters is an Irish guy and everyone in the show is Irish and the main Irish guy is like super hot to me. And then there are a lot of other Irish guys. And I realized that with Irish guys, it's like their faces always have to be like, everything has to be out of proportion and fucked up. And sort of like the worse it gets, the more I'm like drawn to it. And it's kind of that Adam Driver quality of like something's really off here and I can't stop looking at it. And that's what Carl gives me, that at least, where he just looks like someone was painting and went a little off the rails.
Yeah, he's like unique. He's not like traditionally attractive, I think.
Yeah.
There's something he's that like, just is like unique about his face.
Yeah.
And like someone body was being
a traditionally attractive person, and then they sort of something went wrong, and then Carl happened.
And then it's just like he is like just a lost little puppy, kind of. So then there's that.
Idiot.
Yeah, he's in it. Like I feel like if we were ever, it's like the kind of thing where I would initially start dating him and we would laugh and have a lot of fun. Then I would like kind of make fun of him all the time. Cause I'd be like, dude, like you dress like fucking crazy. Like you wear like graphic t-shirts all the time. Like it's truly like you wear like East Coast bro graphic t-shirts, which is a real vibe I cannot get behind, and make fun of him for like his job status. Then something would shift. And we would have like probably good sex a few times, and then I'd be fucking played and I'd be like obsessed with him and wondering why he wasn't like texting me back. Like the power dynamic would shift. Then I'd just be obsessed with him, and then it would be like a sad ending for me. So that's like how it goes when you're interacting with those types of guys.
Yeah. It's so always
from afar.
Same.
Yeah. Appreciate. And just like fantasy role play in my head, and then alone during quarantine, I definitely have spoken out loud. Like I've truly LARPed as if I came onto Summer House next season as the girl Carl was dating, like what my vibe would be like.
You're just alone at home.
Fully alone at home. It's so talking aloud. I've played it all out. And like Tony like follows me around the house and like hears me, my ramblings of a mad woman. But it's like, you would like to think that Carl, like all it takes is the right woman for him to like get his shit together.
Yeah.
But I think that that's a real myth. I think it's like all it takes is the right woman to settle for him.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think like the right woman for him is going to be sort of closer to like Kyle's fiance, where it's like you're just gonna have to suffer so much and there has to be something sort of a bit broken inside you to like to keep, because it's not, I can't see Carl as, he's not like really smart enough to be, because Kyle has this like charisma where it's like, oh yeah, you're a guy who like cheats all the time and like you'll never stop doing that, you know. And Carl doesn't really like have, I don't think, like the skill set to be unfaithful as much, or
he
at
just
all.
Will never commit to anyone, so there's no one to cheat.
He's more of a Schwartz type, where it's like he could be living in a shack right now. That's sort of the hottest version of him, is if like he was living in like a shack off Venice and was like a bum. And just had nothing going on and didn't care about anything, and like that's who he is, but he just ended up on this show. So it's just the ball is going to keep rolling.
West Side bro energy for sure.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. He works at a startup in Venice.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, we could just keep talking about Summer House.
I know. I'm just fascinated and so grateful it's in my life, but like, I can't, like, let's not go down the road of me weeping about like the potential lack of Summer House in my life.
Yeah.
In our lives.
I guess we have to talk about this fucking show.
This fucking show. Brett and Dana, I just have to say, their chocolate cake kiss haunts me to this very day.
Brett and Dana generally haunt me.
They are haunting. In a not
good way. I can't really like explain it.
What are they ever talking about?
I don't know. At one point, like, this is jumping ahead a little bit, but when they when they're talking about Max and she's like, it's just like the deep conversations we have. And then he's like, Brett is like, yeah, like you just understand like how I feel on a me level, and just keeps like saying words. And I was like, one, he's not forming a sentence. Two, I would die to hear like the deep conversations that they've had.
Yeah.
What is Brett?
Can like, anyone show me a deep conversation? I've never known what they say to each other. Like, I watch and it's
Dana talking and he's like, wow, it's crazy that your mom died. Like, yeah. That's so crazy. And she's like, yes.
Yeah. Like, that seems as deep as it's gotten.
I don't think anything's ever happened to Brett.
No. Like, I don't know, like, if they speak in like specifics to each other. Ever.
Yeah.
Just vague. It's hard to.
And I resent deeply like their storyline, because there's nothing going on. You know what I mean?
There. It's yeah. Like,
there's no tension. I don't fucking care. If you could get gangbanged by the two of them, I guess that's just a threesome, but I still wouldn't. I'd be like,
yeah.
Good for you. Like, it's not interesting. Like,
talk about Max. In like,
right, yeah,
in both like a loving way, kind of,
yeah, like
an admire. I'm just like, what?
Brett's always like, oh my boy, yeah, the kid, the kid. And I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Everyone should. That's also be
like
fine.
That's sort of a very Jersey thing. That was something that used to drive me nuts. Was like all the guys that I knew in Jersey would either it's like one of two personas where they like. Are some sort of like Sinatra guy being like, they call you kid and they call their friends kid, or they go in the other direction and everyone is like their boy or their buddy and never referred to by like names. Mm-hmm. Oh, like he's my boy. And it's like,
I think I prefer boy and buddy to kid energy.
Yeah. I don't, the kid is so horny. Ugh, I can't
get out of here.
But I guess we begin with Stassi.
Yeah, Stassi comes home to apologize to Bo with a Celsius that I can only assume is like an energy drink or something. And
I figured it was probably a hard seltzer.
Yeah,
but
and
I
then a
don't
mac
know.
And cheese.
Cacio e pepe style.
And she serves it to Bo in a huge gold bowl.
She definitely never put it in bowls off the burner, which was something.
Yeah,
for sure.
And Bo's Botox this episode is unreal.
Oh, wow. I didn't pick up on that.
Someone, my friend had texted me. She was like, I can't stop. Just like, I'm so distracted by Bo's Botox. Like, it's insane. And then it's all I can see. Like, his forehead, it looks like, between the night before, maybe. Like, it's like he got Botox 5 days prior, and between the night before filming and now is when it finally kicked in, because it takes a few days to like kick in and harden up and freeze everything. And then it's like he's so frozen in like the upper quadrant of his face that I'm just like, what is happening? Like, make it stop.
Wow. Well, that's something fun to look out for me, because I need to sort of play games with myself with this show. Be like, okay, this time we're looking for grammatical errors. Like, but yeah, I realized like watching the shirt combination he was wearing for the proposal, how much I hate every shirt he's ever worn. He's such a shirt guy. where it's like, oh, my whole thing is I wear Hawaiian shirts. Like my whole thing is like I wear these types of shirts. And it's just like, oh my God. Like I can't imagine if like a guy proposed to me wearing like a rumpled, it's not like you need to be in like a tux, but like wearing like a rumpled, like printed J. Crew shirt over like a gray, like pilled, like workout shirt.
Yeah, it's just, it's his style is really something that could stand to be improved upon. Ugh. And you'd think that Stassi would kind of like have commandeered that and steered him in a direction that would be like complementary to her style. Cause like with men, it's really not difficult to look good. Like the world is set up in such a way that you could get like a very great wardrobe as a man for very little money. And it, that same cannot be said for women.
Yeah. And also it's so easy with straight guys to be like, your job now is to wear what I'm putting in front of you. Mm-hmm. And then they just do it, you know? It's not like he's like a sample.
Yeah.
But maybe he's really committed. I don't know. He's committed. But it was offensive.
Mm-hmm.
The next, I just saw the next note I had written down, which we've already acknowledged, is just Summer House commercials give me more than the show. Like I like watch the Summer House commercials like I'm like watching like kids play from inside the house and I'm grounded and I'm just like, oh, that looks so good. Fuck, that looks fun.
Just like that's the summer vibe that I really need.
Yeah.
Also, okay, mausoleum shopping, this is such a staged, like, this whole thing is staged. There's no part of me that believes that, like, Stassi had no idea, like, what was happening. I think that, like, I mean, you see her manicure. My other friend texted me, and she was like, Stassi knew. Look at her manicure. And I was like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And then also, like, they can't afford a mausoleum at, like, a they could maybe afford, like, to get put in a big mausoleum along with like 1,000 people. But I looked, don't think I didn't look at the mausoleum price list of Hollywood
How much
Forever.
Did
it ranges anywhere from like 5,000 to like 30, mid 30,000. But that's like to be in a mausoleum. 5, that's like to be in a mausoleum that's like an like one of the big buildings that houses a lot of different crypts or ashes. Yeah. And I think it just depends on like how big you want the box to be.
Yeah. I thought through this and was like, I guess I could see her thinking that this is one of those dumb segments they do for the show. Cause they probably tape so many that we don't see that are even more stupid than like the baseball games we have to watch or like going shopping for X, you know? Like the boys are trying on blah, blah, blah together. And so I was like, I guess I could see that. But I also was like, there's no way. I think her excitement was genuine because she just really wanted to be engaged.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, it's probably like an excite. Like they have to think of like new ideas. Like, so that makes sense that one of the ideas for like a scene that they would film is like going mausoleum shopping, AKA just like, walking around a cemetery, looking at the ground and being like,
yeah, I don't think she was that it happened at that moment. Like, I don't believe that she was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening right now. I'm sure it went through her mind that day. Like this could be the proposal thing. Cause yeah, if you're Stassi, you're looking at every single moment of the season and being like, which of these fucking moments is the one he's going to propose? Like there's gotta be some segment in here that I could suss out as my proposal. And I was just like, yeah. But then the first time I watched this, I was like watching and smiling, and like Cody, my boyfriend, looked at me and was like, you're like really happy for Stassi. Like he like said it like with such judgment. And I was like, I'm genuinely happy for Stassi right now. And I had to sit with that.
Yeah. We cut to Tom Sandoval holding a dice. He is Tom Dyson in this moment.
Tom Dyson, yeah.
And like,
I could see him being Tom Dyson. Imagine if you're the spokesperson for Dyson. I love that.
My fucking dream. The only thing I do appreciate is that, like, also Stassi had a Dyson in the background of her, like, scene with Beau at her apartment. I have Dyson fucking eagle vision for Dysons because I too have a Dyson, and I'm like, would fuck my Dyson if I could. Like, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. But, like, I just love Dyson excitement, so I really respond, like, positively to, like,
Sandoval. You think they're doing on subtly with the show?
They probably
being
could.
In the back of one
things
scene
in the and background. Like, yeah, I would say it's no coincidence.
Case closed.
That's that
on that.
And James comes over, and James's excitement for this softball game really brought my excitement for the softball game up, because Sandoval goes, "You're playing for Tom Tom," and James goes, "What? That is so sick." And I was like, it's not sick, but, like, James being like, I'm here for James's raw, sober enthusiasm.
Yeah, I think that it really underscored his sobriety to me, because he really has the energy of, like, that fresh sobriety of being like, life is so amazing. You know,
because, like, playing for Sir. Yeah. Like, couldn't believe, like, whoa, this is fucking crazy.
I love picturing James as, like, a young lad. Like, he's like, yeah, we had cricket. And it's like, didn't you grow up in LA?
Yeah,
like, clear. Didn't he, like, move here at some point and he got his legs broken?
Some bullies broke his legs.
Sat on his legs.
Yeah.
Didn't he say, like, someone sat on his legs and, like, snapped them in half?
Yeah, James has had a fucking hard life. And I'm just happy to see him overjoyed. I don't think so. I think I really truly believe a bully sat on his legs and broke them.
We have to find the person. If you are listening right now and you sat on James's legs and broke them at some point in the night, please, or early 2000s or whatever. Please get in touch.
sexyunitepodcast@gmail.com. Send any intel about James's broken legs.
Or if you know someone who might know someone who might know the leg breaker, please get in touch. But yeah, I love
rumor, James. Just share it.
I'm like all... just share.
Share.
I support him.
Yeah.
I hope we get his mom this season. I miss her.
I miss her a lot. Schwartz goes to James at one point. He goes, "You look so fresh and clean." And I was like, God, what's it like for Tom Schwartz to look at James Kennedy and, like, understand that, like, he has gotten sober for 28 days and, like, he's living, like, a joyful life. It was like the like, you know the word, between.
When he said, yes. Yes. And when he, like, when James said, like, "I've been sober 28 days. And then Schwartz, I felt like you could hear, like, the sadness in his voice when he said, "Oh, that's great, man." Like, I feel like he was, like, he's in that stage where it's, like, he can't imagine what being sober for longer than, like, 2 days would be like. And he's just thinking, like, God, that's so sad for you. Like, he's really like, wow, that sucks for James, but I'm going to say how great it is.
Yeah, like, it's passionless commentary.
Yeah, like, I feel like he's just, like, jealous on some level, but he doesn't even really, like, he can't even activate and, like, access that emotion. He's just like, wow, that's great, man. Whoa, that's
the underlying, like, thought beneath the thought is, like, God, I want a drink right now.
Yeah. Schwartz. I want a beer. Is drinking at every moment, I think, as well. Yeah.
There's no moment where he's not pouring, like, liquor into, like, just a cup of water, or, like, drinking a Miller Lite or whatever the fuck.
He turns everything into, like, a drinking thing. And so I think he's just sort of thinking in that moment, like, that's great that you've been sober. Like, when is my next drink?
Mm-hmm. Then we're back at the cemetery, and Stassi and Beau are, like, going to the bench where the ring has been planted on the ground. And I love that Beau goes, "I wonder what that is. Did you see that? Is that an urn?" Like, as though an urn would be sitting on just the ground.
And then
Stassi's
like, yeah, what is that? Like, is that like one of those things where you're like, and she's doing like a hand motion. And I like knew the thing that she was talking about. And Bo just goes, oh, no.
She goes, is that like, a bell? I was like, bitch, like, why the fuck would a bell be in a cemetery?
Is that a bell? Yeah, I don't. Then she started talking about like the things that dead people, and he's just like, no. Like, shut the fuck up.
I don't think no, and Stassi. And then they have their moment of engagement, and there's I love just cutting to an immediate montage of the bad times.
Yeah, and also like one of the moments of the bad times was last night.
Yeah.
Like something it's like
it happened but less that's than all 12 hours us. Ago.
It's all behind us now, and it was literally like that was a little lull that I felt like was an editor lull. You know,
it was a good,
I was like, oh wow, they're still alive.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, the editors are just showing it. They're like sending smoke signals of life. They're like, mm-hmm. We're doing okay. So I was like happy for that.
Both and then stress like, hives also were a lull for me.
Stress, was it stress eczema or was it stress hives? It was hives, right?
He's like, I break out in hives like whenever you talk.
In his shitty tank top.
Yeah, it's like, are those hives or just your horrific tattoos? Or both. I was just like, damn.
I want to know all the meanings of all of his tattoos.
And then he goes, there's a party at Lisa's house. She's going to cook. And I was like, what? She's not cooking.
Stassi goes, wow. Stassi goes, wow. Oh, my God. And I was like, imagine like, no, Lisa did not cook at all. I don't know why you said that. And all I could imagine was like, remember the time she was like making the pasta?
It
was like her vegan bolognese.
That's also what she
did
served me.
That?
That's what she yeah. served me and Ryan Bailey when we had to be like extras on B-roll and like pretend to eat it and then tell her like
yum,
when
yum.
She came over to ask, tell her it was delicious. Was yeah. her like trash can like kitchen pasta vegan. I was like I've had it and I have there's footage of me saying supporting the lie. I'll sell
right.
out in a heartbeat for the show. Nothing I say means anything.
Stassi going, wow.
Wow.
Oh my God. And she's like in her mind, like, fuck. Why would you do that?
Then I'm like, how did this show turn into the marriage show? Like, this was like, was it always heading in this direction? Like, I thought we started this show with like people with big dreams they would never achieve. And like we would get to see those dreams like play out of like trying to be an actor or model or whatever. But it turns out at the end of the day, all these people just wanted like to be normal.
Yeah. They just wanted to be married.
Yeah. Which I guess is like relatable, like hashtag relatable. But it's not a show that's not the show that I signed up for.
But at least then, like I've been watching, obviously, like Real Housewives of New York, and I was saying how like it's so much better than Vanderpump Rules because like they don't want the audience to. They already operate on the presumption like each character is like I'm the best and I'm great and everyone's gonna love me and I am righteous in my actions. Mm-hmm. And like the Vanderpump Rules characters, I feel like are actively trying to be like. I feel like maybe they were just so raked over the coals before they were like really making money and they were all such messes that now they're like, look at my home and like, I'm having an amazing wedding. And they just like want everyone to like them and they want everything. This show was always just like the jumping point for them to make enough money to like pay for their wedding.
Yeah. It's just such a weird shift that's like where everything went. And then the weddings, even if they're like all getting married and that's like a big life thing for them, it's like the shift in focus away from like their careers is shocking to me.
I would love
this is the moment that it felt really clear that it was like, oh, this show is just about like marriage and like domesticity and not about like modeling, acting, singing.
It's about the heterosexuality hell.
Hetero hell.
Yeah, hetero hell. Hell's Kitchen. It's the just like, it just keeps going.
The like ultimate metaphor for that too was Stassi going, "This is the best day of my life," and hugging Bo, and then a drone shot pans up to show them next to just like a brown lake.
Dirty brown, the dirty brown cemetery lake. Yeah. Yeah, all the best days of their life. I mean, that the show has always promised to show us these are the best days of my life, and I guess they are. That's why I feel like Ariana sometimes is like the only character with perspective, because she operates from a place of like, I'm depressed and sort of like everything sucks.
Yeah.
And really, I'm just like here, you know, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I don't think that these are the best days of Ariana's life. I think that these are some of the worst days of Ariana's life.
I think it's, yeah, they're some of the worst days of like all of their lives, but yet.
Also Kristen, I think it could be argued that they're the worst days of Kristen's life too. But I think,
yeah,
definitely the best days of Brittany's life and the best days of Stassi. Some of the best and worst of Stassi's.
For sure. Kristen, like, has never had a good time.
No, never once. She's actually never been like truly happy on this show. Like, no. We've never seen her beam with a joy, like a James level of softball joy.
Kristen needs to find her softball.
She needs to find her softball. Katie, I thinks that these are the best days of her life, but they're the worst.
Did you see the news item that Katie has lost 20 pounds?
Yeah.
There are no like before after photos, but there are all these articles, and I was like, it kind of made me feel like sick, because I was like, where are the pictures?
I want to see, like, show off, queen. Like, I want like a cover of like Us Weekly, or like go tell the Daily Mail.
It's kind of sad to me that it was just like, but I guess because she put it on her Instagram stories, and we're having like slow news days lately in the entertainment world, that it was just like, Katie Maloney says that she's changed her diet and lost weight. But I was just like,
No, you know, and I was like, I want to know who the nutritionist was. I want to know exactly what she said. Like, give me more details. Like, I am dying to know.
Go on Straight Up with Stassi.
Yeah. Spill Talk your secrets. Because you know that they don't really like work out or anything. Like, they're very lazy when it comes to exercise. Yeah. So, and it has to be like diet, and like I relate to that, even though I do exercise like pretty frequently. Like, I love nothing more than like just like pizza and cheese plates, so like,
yeah,
tell a
it's bit. So depressing that like that's how you have to lose weight. Basically, I've been working out like every day in quarantine because I'm just like bored, and I actively want to lose weight. Like, I kind of I've gotten out of shape this year because I moved in with my boyfriend and he cooks. I'm like, oh, this is what it's like to like eat three meals or like just one big one even. Because when I lived alone, I was just like, I'm a prisoner of war.
Yeah.
But yeah, then you realize like working out definitely feels great. And I'm like, oh, this is, everyone was always saying like, this would make me not want to kill myself. And they were correct. And I'm an idiot. But it's like, it takes so much effort to work out and burn shit off so much more than it does to like eat healthy. And it's like, I don't want to do that.
I know, like, eating healthy is the final frontier for me, where I'm just like, how do some people eat vegetable based meals like every day? I'm like, I'll go like days in a row without eating a single vegetable. And then I'm just like, what? And then I'm depressed. And then I'm just like, I don't know. I don't understand.
Katie, we need a meal plan.
Katie, give us the fucking nutritionist info.
Katie, please.
Please. We're begging you. Lala's outfit and her huge Chanel fucking tote that she shows up with to Lisa's house. Lala's chaotic, like, whore outfits are like a passion of mine.
Yeah, I am.
And I love that she shows her ass and no underwear to Ken and Lisa.
Ken hasn't seen an ass in years.
Also, his reaction just to walk away. Ken was not present for this meal. He just was like, and left.
Ken saw that ass and he had to go.
He had to bounce.
He hasn't experienced arousal in many years. Lisa's been busy like jacking off the horses and shit. So he's like, he saw a nude body part of someone and was like, oh, and he had to walk off. I also was wondering, I was like, because Lala's obviously like a big fan of like all procedures. And I was wondering, like, I don't know how you wear going like commando has always sort of escaped me. Cause I'm like, I don't know how you do that as a woman, as a woman.
Me neither.
I don't know. And so I was thinking about that aspect. And then I was thinking like, doesn't the material of that dress didn't look breathable. It was like foil. So I was like, don't you sweat? Like, and I was wondering, I was thinking like, that Lala's probably gotten like her ass Botoxed or something, because like Botox stops sweating. And I was I think she's probably an innovator in that realm in terms of like, you know, the microneedling Botox and stuff.
You totally could get ass Botox. I didn't even think about that. Cause I wonder, I'm such like, a sweaty, like yeah. Like I'm a sweaty person, and even if I'm wearing like shorts and then sit down on a chair in the summertime or like in a booth somewhere, I'm just like, great. There's definitely going to be like a thigh ass imprint.
Oh, I'm always like sliding out with like a napkin.
Sliding out with like a napkin trailing me and then like leaving it and praying, like literally I'm always praying like, ooh, no just one noticed.
I'm like, but whoa, also, better like, pick that up.
That dress is so short. It's like, sometimes your dress is so short that literally your underwear is just touching a chair. No, so like,
she was definitely leaving a pussy print on every seat in Lisa's home.
Like, and then you're just like tight. I mean, it's up to everyone has to like manage their pussy the way they see fit, but it's like you're totally cool with just like your pussy touching a surface is a wild mood.
She was snail trailing all over Villa Rosa.
I'm like, hopefully you're having like a low vaginal discharge day. Like you'd have to really like pay attention to your cycle and know where in your cycle you could get away with wearing that dress with no underwear.
She was not ovulating.
Yeah. I was just like, damn. Okay, go on.
She douched and did an enema before to prepare for wearing that dress.
Let the ass Botox kick in. And maybe even like vag Botox.
She got a full vaginal rejuvenation in preparation for wearing this dress to Lisa's. Yeah.
She also like forgot about things kind of from the neck up because her makeup seemed really like wild.
Unhinged.
Later on when it was giving me like the reunion episode where she like did like a fully like the face was beat in such a way and like her hair.
That was iconic.
Yeah, that was iconic, but it was hearkening back to those days and I was like appreciative of that, but I was also just like, what is happening with everything from the neck up as far as like this weird bun and like makeup?
Yeah, it looked like she was a beauty vlogger on like step like 9 and there are like 12 steps and she just like was like one step away from like putting on like the false lashes and like doing the things that sort of bring contrast to your face, if you know what I mean. Like, because she had, it looked like she had done like contour and like foundation and stuff and eyeshadow and then just sort of like left it like that and it was looking like very like flat and like shiny to me. And I was like, okay, I guess like this just wasn't, she was like, oh, I'm going to Lisa's, I'll just wear like my labia dress and like call it a day.
She's like, no one will be looking at my face for the rest of the day really. So like, it's fine.
If I put my pussy out at the dinner table, then no one is going to notice I like didn't fully finish my eyeliner.
Yeah.
So whatever.
I was just like, okay.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
I had never noticed that the font on Lisa's home is the same as like the Sur font. Like she has a sign in her home that's this, and I was like,
She likes to keep it all on brand.
Yeah, I didn't like that. It felt like a lot for me.
That's what makes me think that her house is just made of like styrofoam that's been painted, because that's very much the energy of like Sur is like paint, plywood, and Villa Rosa, or not Villa Rosa, but Pump. Like Pump and Villa Rosa seem very like complementary to each other. And Villa Rosa is like all columns that are not made of stone.
There's no roof.
Yeah, there's no roof. Like it's like very just, like hacked together.
Yeah. Lisa's, I want to see Lisa's real house.
Yeah,
because this is obviously like a nature preserve. This is where the swans live and such. She also did this weird thing where, like, as being, because I need to play games with myself and be the fucking grammar police of the show, I noticed that Lisa was like, I haven't even put out any drink. And I was like, any drink? Like, what are we in like a Victorian age production? We need drink.
Always. And then we aren't communal intelligence was insulted with a montage of every like side character finding out that Stassi and Beau got engaged and like having to speak to this truth. And like it starts with Danica going, and she sells it. Like her intensity is just always like, I believe her whenever she says anything. She's like, did you see that Stassi and Beau got engaged to Peter, who's like terrified?
The tone of her voice is very urgent.
Urgent, like, and accusatory. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
I also, I remembered how last episode, I don't know if you caught this, but she was, maybe it was last episode or the one before, but she's talking about Sheena and she goes, Sheena says one thing and says another.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And I just keep thinking about her saying that, like during this montage, I just like, oh, you're amazing.
Yeah. As do we all say one thing and then we'll go on to say another thing.
Say another.
Then Charlie and Mikal in their iconic like kitchen spot screaming.
I love Raquel so much.
Yeah.
I love Raquel. I love Charlie.
Love them both. Then dead-eyed Dana to Brett with zero emotion going like, Stassi got engaged. So I'm super happy for them. I was like,
I'm super happy.
Sounds like it.
She has the delivery of like a cop, mm-hmm. like reading you your rights or something.
She's like a cop with two young kids at home. And she's just like exhausted, but it mostly does like traffic stops and then the occasional like meter maid moment.
Yeah. I love that for her. I do love any chance to see Peter bring out his acting chops. They had him be like, this is like, I don't know, the 100th time Peter's been in this role of like delivering news about something that happened, you know, or being like, what? And Peter, he's like, they got engaged. I forget exactly what he says, but he's really like
surprised face.
Yeah, it falls completely flat. Obviously, it doesn't work. And I love seeing... I want to see Peter's film. I've never watched it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere.
Yeah, we'll find it.
I'm also just, like, happy when Peter gets paid for an episode. Like, I think the only way they get paid is if they speak in an episode.
Right.
So Peter got the episode paycheck, which is good
for
him.
I want to know what he makes.
I'll bet it's like $2,000 every time.
I was trying to argue that like Peter has the best. I was like, I love that Peter just like gets that episode fee. He probably has like the best life of any of them. And then I started trying to explain it. And Cody was like, I'm really eager to hear you play this one out.
Yeah, I was like, respectfully disagree. No,
his life sucks. Like, he literally has to work at Sir and like sell like hair loss supplements. I was also wondering of the cast, like, who's on Propecia. I was thinking about that because I was like, there's no way like Beau's hair is just like that, like everyone just has all their hair, you know.
Yeah, I think someone, they're all on it at this point,
on that Propecia. Mm-hmm. So I was just thinking, something fun to think about to get through the sods.
Yeah, they've hit that age.
I hated when Dana said she was like, she doesn't even like know Stassi, you know what I mean? And she's
talking
about it. They've
never spoken like, to each other, like, I think this entire season.
She goes, I'm so happy for them. Like, she found her person. And I was like, I hate when people say that, her person. Yeah.
To like stupid Brett, who like, things just don't compute to him. Like, he doesn't give a shit.
He doesn't know what that means.
It's like, Dana, sell me on something. Like, what are you passionate about?
Comedy. Comedy. You already know this.
Which, she's not even funny.
I know. I remember your optimism at the beginning of this season when on an episode you and Carrie were talking about it and you were like, she could really be something.
She could be something. Do you know, also, I'll tell you some, like, just like behind the scenes tea is that for our live show, we asked, because I saw that she'd been doing a lot of shows, and then we had our agents ask if she would want to do an opening 10 minutes at our show in Los Angeles and like warm up the audience with some of her comedy. And then I don't know if she ever got back to them, but pretty much the answer was no.
Damn. I wonder if she has 10 minutes though.
I think she does. Like, I mean, she was doing shows with like 10 comedians that I had heard of.
Wow.
And I was shook by that. But then also I was like, look, I want to give her, like, I truly do. I was like, absolutely. Like, I want you to like key it up and warm up the room and like do your thing. Do your comedy thing, my queen.
We need to get a lineup of her and Kristen and Rachel No'Brien.
Yeah. I need Kristen's comedy routine for sure. Anything to take her out of her Valley Village lair where she's decided to pile up so many cardboard boxes on the porch that I only can interpret that as a cry for help.
Did you see her HGTV tour? She put it on Instagram.
Oh, I sure did.
Or I don't know if it was with HGTV or like, yeah, it was like just her house. I loved every moment of that.
I really boho loved chic. It. Her boho chic house. Had a visceral reaction to her choice in textiles. Like, I'm really, like, her choice in pillows and curtains made me feel really unsafe.
You got bow hives.
I got full bow hives and was like, God, I would just love to direct her to just some West Elm and CB2 options that could really satisfy.
She's up in Anthropology. Like, just
I even could recommend some Anthropology options that would just really, I think, make her feel more safe and confident in her own journey. But I'm like, she's really stuck in a place of like an Urban Outfitters-esque textile journey.
Maybe Kristen decorates in a way that triggers herself. Like, she like needs to, she puts out things that trigger certain PTSD, and then every day is this sort of same Groundhog Day of like re-experiencing traumas through textiles and throw pillows.
Happy, like, you can't maintain positive levels of serotonin with the textiles that she's choosing to surround herself with. Like, it's actually like, I would bet $1,000 that that's just like a scientific fact.
Is that, wait, yeah, don't we, do we go from, oh no, I guess we go back to Lisa's house after this.
Oh, wait, I'm hearing like, oh.
What happened?
Do you hear that at all?
What? No.
I just heard like a static-y type of vibe. That was Kristen. Not anymore. It was weird.
Maybe my air conditioning started?
I don't know. It sounded more like microphone stuff, but it's gone now. I'm sorry. So wait, go back and say what you were saying.
Oh, I was just saying, I was wondering if we were at the point of where, like, we go from the montage back to Lisa's house, or if we're with Kristen and
we're with her Kristen lair,
finding out the news.
In her lair, and she goes, she's like stalking around her house alone. She's like, where there's an engagement party.
And then, yeah, I love Kristen on the case. Where there's an engagement party. And I was like, you never miss.
And Lala calls her to check in, which is really just like a cunt. Like, she just calls her to be like lightly cunty to her.
I thought like very cunty.
Yeah.
Also, Lisa's wearing, when her and Lala are talking about Kristen before Lala calls, Lisa's wearing this like woven medieval headband that looks like it's like Katie's cum rags, like twisted together.
Her DIY project with those cum rags, dyed them each like pink and black and then wove them together for a thick headband.
Lisa's Midsommar headband.
I love Dodie sticking up for herself to Lala, though.
Yeah. Yeah, Lala was just being a bitch. She just called to be a bitch. And she's like, I love when Kristen, also Kristen picks up the phone and she's like, hey. I love when Kristen goes, hey.
Hey.
And I'm it's about to
shit's about to go down.
I love a good Dodie. Hey.
But I do think it's fair of Stassi to not want Kristen there.
Right. I mean, I think
if someone's going to stress you out and be like, cause you any worry, it's like, yeah, don't have them at the party.
When Kristen feels someone pushing away, her reaction is to like aggressively move in on them and be like, I can change this in the weirdest ways possible. Yeah. And she, like, her going up to Beau and being like, I'm talking to my friend. and like stoking that conflict. I have to think there was probably like a producer being like, this is awesome. Like, let's make this happen. Kristen, go talk to Bo, like knowing about the proposal and stuff like that. But I appreciate their work ethic.
Yeah. I'm like, Kristen is true borderline hours, like at every turn. And even the way where it's like, I think she gets a lot of validation after being ignored by someone. Like, she's the kind of person that would text you like over and over and over and over and over. And like, she'd probably rather have like a text war or like a screaming phone call than actually try and like communicate and get to the bottom of like why everyone's feeling frustrated. And then also, like, you know that she was probably just like so happy that Stassi flipped out the night before, because it means like Stassi cares about, like, she takes it as meaning like, oh, Stassi cares about me. Like, I can elicit this like intense emotional reaction from her. But then also it's just sad because at the end of the day, all her actions key her up to be like isolated again from the people that she wants to be so close to.
It's always the same. Like, and she, if you look at like her exes, like everyone is someone who has melodramatic overreactions.
Yeah.
And so that's how she like processes love, is like a James, or like, I guess she, well, yeah, she was constantly like pushing Sandoval to the point of like mental collapse.
Yeah, fully. And then like I rewatched a bunch of episodes of season three and like the Miami trip where they all go for Sheena's and Shay's bachelorette. Yeah. And when Kristen takes Sandoval like out and forces him into like crying. And then,
and like, then she's like smiling through tears and she's like,
she's like, I knew that he still felt huge feelings for me. And I'm like, bitch, that is not what that was. Like, please.
That man is at the bottom of a hole. Yeah. He's pleading with you to please stop trying to murder his girlfriend. I love Kristen like this, obviously. Like, I want her to be better, but also I need her. Like this in this, she's the only one delivering anything.
Yeah, she and Sheena are definitely like carrying the show on their backs, but like collectively it still doesn't work to bring the show up to the level it needs to be at. Like, everyone needs to be putting in the work in their own unique and special, sexy and unique way to really make it Vanderpump Rules. And then also like
Lala, sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say something completely unrelated, which is that Lala on this call and talking to Lisa does something that drives me like fucking insane, which is like this weird like hot girl habit that I like that I had like my ears perked up almost like remembering it like from middle school, where she starts saying her G's with K's on them. And she's like, what are you doing? What are you like? You can't keep doing this, Kristen. And I was like, what? She's like, she's so fucking annoying. And I was like, oh, Whitney Port does it.
Stassi used to do it too in like seasons one and two. Like, it's like hot bratty girl energy of like over enunciating. You're like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like dropping like a coin in a pot or something at the end of every G. And I was like, why is this starting now?
Yeah.
So again, more thrilling audio reports from my analysis. That's all I have on the show isn't anymore. Is I'm like, she said that weird. Like, this is worth watching.
Yeah, thank God. Like, gold bowl, and that's like all I can give you. Why the fuck is Carter getting involved? His text to Bo is truly psychotic.
I love it.
I love it too.
I love it so much. Carter is Dirty John. And
he is Dirty John. He and Bo share a total Dirty John energy.
Yeah, Bo is the pre-Dirty John. Like, he's like the leaving smoothies on your nightstand and you're like, wow, he's so amazing. And then Carter is like Dirty John, like activated, where he's like, your daughter is being a bitch, so I will murder your daughter. Carter's like, I will kill Stassi.
I will fucking end her. Yeah. Also, I would just like to say that I think that COVID is part of the universe's way of trying to communicate to Stassi that she should not get married to Beau. Like, I truly believe that, like, whatever is happening, like, it's like life has greater plans for you. Like, yes, it will be painful to end this relationship, but think long term and, like, please end it and, like, go move on and do huge things with your life.
Who do you think, like, in the world you could see Stassi with? Like, what type of guy would be like, you're like, you've done, this is great for you? I'm thinking like Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, she needs someone that's like independently, like independent, doing their own thing, has their own money and house with like great taste that like she, the taste that she is not going to get mad at, but also taste that's like different from hers, where they could like merge their sensibilities and have a really fun time, like creating something together. Like, I think that ultimately it would be fun for her to have someone in her life that she's engaged to that also that yes and her in a way that it seems like Beau doesn't, where she's like, I want like an Italian wedding that's like small and romantic and it's so beautiful, and like the ideal mate for her I think would be like, yes, and let's do it in like Tuscany, and like I'm gonna pull up these villas, like what do you think of like this hedge, isn't that incredible? And then they get all like high and like excited, like I'm getting chills thinking of them having that interaction with each other.
I feel like that's why she like hates Sandoval so much, is that he's like, not Sandoval himself, but his energy of like being into things and passionate about things is like the way, what she should be partnered with. And she like hates it. She wants like sort of beta guys, like a Jax, you know what I mean? And Beau is like supportive, but he's not like, he feels like he's always doing a bit where like he's like the boyfriend and it's like, oh babe, like, oh, wedding planning, I don't know, like that's true. And it's just like, fucking stop, like you're not on a sitcom.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, sitcom mode.
And he acts like very put, like faux put out by her like wild ideas, like a cemetery, like going to the cemetery, and it's just like,
I thought you were gonna say anti-Semitism. He's always so put off by her anti-Semitism. At the end of the day, she needs to be with someone who supports her
and supports her like SS tendencies.
Yeah, that like, was such a moment.
Such a moment. Were we ever so young? And like when she wants to buy like a house that's like an old, you know, Spanish style house in the Hollywood Hills, someone that's like, yes, like let's do it, like I'm gonna look into this, and like just gets excited with her and adds to her and they build something together. But I'm just always sus about couples that where one person decides to like merge into someone else's life and then gains financial whatever from that. Like,
yeah, like I don't, he's like a 40-year-old casting agent.
Yeah, I'm like, you joined her on tour and started to make money off of her. Like, you wouldn't.
Oh, wait, he's not even an agent, right? He just like tapes the auditions.
He's like a cast, works in casting is all I truly know.
I think he just like operates the camera for casting.
Yeah. And then has had like, I think multiple weird
short film roles.
Yeah. Like multiple bankruptcies, actually. That's what I was going to say.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah. So it's just like,
don't you have to file for bankruptcy through a business? Has he like started businesses?
Yeah, I think he's had two businesses that have not panned out. But I'm just like, that's the kind of thing. I just think that, I don't know, I don't have like the highest hopes. And I would hope that she would use this time. It's sad because I think that she really does, and I think everyone on the show values marriage so much, and like the act of like getting an engagement ring and being like, I'm fucking engaged, motherfucker, and like, it's like, do you know that you could just buy a ring for yourself? Like, you could buy, like you could buy a diamond ring and wear it on your finger and like save yourself from being with this person. I don't know.
I think he's, unfortunately, he is like the best boyfriend on the show. Like, I don't know who would be the better partner, like Sandoval, maybe.
Yeah.
But even with Ariana, I feel like he always like minimizes the things she like wants to do. Like, he's like emotionally supportive, but he was like, I want to write the book with you and like blah, blah, blah. And there are just like no good examples of like
I think Sandoval is a good boyfriend.
Yeah. I think like in real life, I think like on the show, he's like supportive and good to her, but it's, we've not really seen them. Like, he hasn't been like super awesome. Do you know what I mean? But it seems like they have an equal relationship where they're on the same level. You know what I mean? It's not like Ariana was some rando brought in on the show. She was like really a part of it and they've moved up in the world together versus like Bo was just like all of a sudden a fucking cast member and gets all this shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like weird when someone, just benefits. I'm just like, that's Dirty John.
That's a DJ boy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I love Carter evening out the Dirty John
energy
cycle. Yeah.
Brittany arriving at Lisa's house, she goes, I love coming here. It never gets old.
My favorite moment of this episode is Jax just going, you got a turtle there, goose over there. Like, he's like a child at like a petting zoo. And it's like, very good, Jax. He's like, he says it so like even toned. You got a goose over there. You got a turtle over there. It's like, yes, Jax. And I died. And I was like, I would watch a whole show of Jax just going on like a nature walk.
Mm-hmm. And I also am happy to see when they prove themselves to be on like the exact same kind of like IQ level. I'm like, yeah, it feels right.
I never get sick. It never
gets
here.
Old. I love coming here. It never gets old.
Seeing the turtles. Jax, I love when you point to stuff and name it.
Got a turtle over here, goose over there. I'm like, you guys, please. Yes.
I loved that. That was, and you know how bad this has gotten when like that's the high point of the episode for me. I'm like, yes.
I know. So Schwartz apparently lied to everyone to get them to come to Lisa's house by telling them there was some sort of crazy dinner. It's like, everyone has to have known they had a call time to go to Lisa's house this day. Like,
also, no one would have believed that Schwartz was cooking a dinner.
Yeah. Who would like even ordering it? Like, it's like, why don't you just say like, we're having a celebration dinner about like how great Tom Tom's been at Lisa's house. Like, why all the, and I believe that the lies were like fake. Like, it doesn't even seem like Ariana really bought into it all that much. But I love Jax just goes up to Schwartz and he goes, where's the dinner?
Jax was like, I have to get this check. I need to appear on screen. Where's the dinner?
These like mini cast iron skillets. If someone told me that, I'd be like, I'm not coming. That does not sound that like luxe to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Sandoval goes, we're all going to get our own skillets. And I was like, what? Like,
you know, they love like mini skillets. Like, they have those at Tom Tom where you can get like shishito peppers in a mini skillet. Like, they really
serve like the mac and cheese in a mini skillet.
They love mini skillet irons. Yeah.
And I guess that makes total sense now that you say that. Mm-hmm. They definitely are horny for mini skillets. Tom's like so excited. That was also the most effort that Schwartz has put into something in probably years, was coming up with those lines, you know?
Yeah, like the most, the hardest he's worked.
That was a ton of creative energy for him to say the word Ethiopian, to find it in his mind and then put it out there. I was shocked.
Yeah, it was absolutely shocking.
Jiggy looks fried.
Well, I didn't even notice Jiggy.
Yeah, they show Jiggy and Cody was like, oh my God, and like paused it. And he like looks like someone like plugged him into something and he was shocked.
I think that they like continually shock him back to life with like mini defibrillators. Like, I think that like Jiggy sleeps in a hyperbaric chamber every night and then like he dies multiple times a day and is constantly getting like brought back.
Well, they caught him at a weird moment where he was just reanimated. Like, his corpse was just reanimated. Him and Ken had just been taken off their chargers and they accidentally put a shot of him in there. And I was like, oh. We were both very upset by that.
My brain, like, actually can't now process Jiggy's image on screen unless it's like explicitly shown to me with like a cry on. Like, it's just like, it refuses to see and engage with like Jiggy.
Do not see it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want a major investigation into the dynamic between Dana Schroeder and Mark Schroeder and Mark's new wife / Stassi's stepmom.
His new wife looked very like poorly preserved. You know what I mean? Like, as if she's hot, but she looked like her skin, like she was just about to sort of break out of her skin.
Yeah. It was
very
like
tight.
Pulled thin skin.
I didn't know if she was smiling or if her face was just like that.
Yeah,
because she never broke that expression.
I was wondering too. I was kind of like, whoa, I didn't see that for him. Like, for some reason I just would have thought that she'd have like a little bit more of like a wild Dana energy.
Yeah,
but I feel like that was a avenue that went completely unexplored and probably could have provided some like interesting drama or
yeah,
like, a B storyline at the very least.
By Stassi's older brother. I was like, yeah. Who? What? Like, they've been pimping out her younger brother as if he was the only one this entire time. And then we find out there's this full adult man. And it's like, has Stassi's little brother been like abusing this adult man to keep him off the show? Yeah. He's like, these are my scenes.
And her sister is there too, which I'm like, we've never really seen. Like, we saw her sister maybe in season one when they went to Lake Arrowhead, but like, yeah. I want more. And then also, why wasn't Beau's family there?
I know.
Like, an engagement is for a couple. It's not just like one person.
I think it was just one person. Yeah. Like, it was only solely about Stassi, but yeah, it was just really, the energy was very weird and like it was all for her, but I guess that's like the whole thing is like in the place of a dowry. It's like you offer up Lisa's home and your family, I guess.
Yeah, also Katie reveals that Bo had stashed the engagement ring next to his foot powder so Stassi couldn't find it. And then there was a photo of it like in a dingy bathroom with his foot powder, and I was dying because last week Carrie and I called it, or Carrie himself was like, I'll bet Bo has really stinky feet, and I was like, he definitely does. And then fully enough, like, we are truly psychic and know these people better than they know themselves.
Carrie is too powerful.
Yeah, his powers know no bounds.
They've really gotten way too strong. Especially in quarantine, you guys are like getting stronger. Hi, Tony.
Then Lisa's cooking is all presented to the table.
Which is three pieces of cheese. When Sheena later is like, this is amazing. And it's like three pieces of cheese on a mini that also like harkened back to the fucking skillets. I was like, what is it? Lisa just has like somewhere like 400 mini cutting boards in her home. Like, it was really upsetting. I didn't like that at all. That's not something you serve at dinner. Like, you don't, like, as a course in dinner, give someone a board of cheese.
Yeah, like a mini cheese plate.
That's so weird.
That's like,
I hated it.
Before the dinner, during drinks, you would have like a cheese and charcuterie board beautifully set out that everyone could like go to and take what they pleased. But I don't trust like a mini. Yeah.
The dinner was like a butter lettuce salad, and then you got a mini charcuterie board, and then everyone was sent home. That's what we saw, you know? And of course, Brittany It's just like, see, Brittany saw those boards and was like, I wonder what, where this was when we were getting engaged.
Was the best, where she leans in, she goes, how'd you get Lisa to do this for all you guys? With like barely concealed, like.
And she did her Chucky laugh. She was like, oh. And I was like, Julie, why did I just say Julie? I'm losing it. When Brittany.
Julie.
Does her would you Tom Dyson?
Tom Dyson and Julie.
When she does her like Chucky meets like Goofy laugh, the like yucking, that's when you know she's lost it. And I was like, Brittany's gonna go on a Chucky murder rampage. She would be really good in that Halloween costume, I think.
That was a really bad response and a poor way of handling that moment.
The way your entire body and face died, and I got to see you like the dead-eyed stare of someone who's just typing out a text. That's really not something you get to see often. That feels very vulnerable.
I'm so vulnerable when I like, I only have attention to do one thing at a time. Like I cannot look at a computer. I can't multitask, like, period. And so then even when I try and like low-key do it and know that I'm like failing at doing the one thing I'm supposed to be doing because my attention's going elsewhere. So you just got to witness that like full mental breakdown. But I'm back good now. And I do agree that Brittany would really pull off a Chucky costume in Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's... Brittany also, like, I'm very grateful for how little Brittany has sort of been in this season. And I hope it can only continue in this fashion.
Yeah. I mean, I was into next week's, like, the sneak preview where she and Jax are crying about something and she... And it seems like he's going back to his old ways. Like, I'm like, okay, I'll take that. But... Anything other than that, like, I'm over, like, fairy tale Brittany.
I know. The wedding feels like it was years ago.
Yeah.
And it feels I want it to stay there.
Yeah. Keep it in the past. Everything pre-COVID is like, we're in a new era now.
Good.
Sheena weirdly hitting on Nikolai is everything I needed to see. I also am like, why is Sheena there? I can't imagine that Stassi like desperately wanted her there, though I'm like very grateful that she is there.
That's why Sheena is just the ultimate on this show, because she gets herself in every scene somehow.
Yeah. She'll do whatever it takes.
Gets her moment. I was proud of her for getting her screen time. But also I was like, wow, we've fallen so far that we have like Sheena doing like a Phoebophile cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a very dark thing.
Yeah. Like, it's come to this.
Yeah.
Then Stassi and Bo have, like, a kiss moment on the... But that's another thing. Okay, so the dynamic of this moment where, like, they go out to look on the hills of Bel Air, Beverly Hills, or wherever the fuck Ken and Lisa live. And Stassi's like, our future, like, all this will be ours. And, like, Bo is not playing along with that energy. He's like, what? Like, Los Angeles? Like, he doesn't get it. And I'm like, this is what the dynamic of this entire relationship will be, where you dream big and you will make big things happen for yourself. But this person is always going to question it and never going to rise to the occasion with you.
Yeah, that entire moment was just like, made my skin crawl of them, like, and him doing the whole like I'm engaged thing. I was like, please, like, put me out of my misery, please make it stop.
Yeah.
Nothing good to say about that.
I wrote, glad Stassi is happy though.
I'm so happy for her. Yeah, she found her person.
Then everyone takes to the alley. Literally, it's like a full-blown, like, alley summit where the best thing of this episode was Charlie going, I still haven't tried the pasta, sir. And Dana goes, don't.
Don't.
Like,
honestly,
that's really good advice. Actually,
I love her also saying I would like pay like a Patreon fee to see her at the Olive Garden. Mm-hmm. She says she went to the Olive Garden. And I was like, please show take us. Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love.
I want footage.
Release the tapes, Andy.
Yeah. Then
Charlie at Olive Garden.
I'm like, why doesn't every Sir Newbie have their own vlog where they're like, just take us on a journey with them?
Yeah. It's fucked.
Like, I fully subscribe to Sheena's YouTube. I have been featured on Sheena's YouTube. Like, I'm in it. Like, I'm on board and ready to fucking play ball. Brett and Dana still talk about Max. It's really insane.
I hated it. The like, as a her being like, when Brett hugs me, I feel like he's a man, really triggered me into like Sheena's whole Rob thing. Mm-hmm. I felt like she was like stealing Sheena valor of like, he's such a man. I was like, stop.
I'm like, we get it. You like Brett. Okay. Let's move on to like the next talking point, Dane.
Yeah. I'm like, have you ever hooked up with a hot, dumb person?
Yeah,
like, because like, not... it is exciting when it happens, but it's also like, it can happen all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Touche.
You're in the capital of hot idiots. So I don't know. Brett is, there are seven Bretts every time you walk out of your apartment. Yeah. I don't get it.
For every Brett, there are seven more Bretts, if not like a dozen more Bretts.
Yeah.
Even in your like Sir universe, for every Brett, there is like an old Brett who's arguably like hotter.
Yeah. I don't understand. Maybe he has a massive dick. Doesn't Max have a crazy dick?
Yeah, I think that Max was, like, has a big dick.
Good for him.
Kristen's doormat says, have the best day ever, which really killed me.
I loved that. So much. I love every moment we get in Kristen's home.
Mm-hmm.
Also, she's wearing like a shirt that says kind people are my kind of people the whole time. That's undoubtedly James May. And I was like, yes.
Get that James May money. I hope 100 women ordered those t-shirts. I hope her t-shirt line just fucking takes the fuck off.
Me too. I should buy one. I don't have any yet. Do you have any?
No, I've looked. I really wanted, and I should have bought this shirt like when it was on sale on her website. But she had some Veggieholic merch for a while, and she had a shirt that said Veggieholic, and like I almost bought it. I should have. I hate that I didn't. I'll never forgive myself.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Jax loves to cut grass. It's very therapeutic for me, he says.
And that's, he brings up his dead dad. Mm-hmm. In connection to mowing lawns, and I was like, can we just let it go for 1 second?
I was like, that's like, cool. And then he was like, Kristen has Kentucky bluegrass, but what you really want? And then I was just like, and then that was when it was over.
That's when you shut down. That's when you powered
shut down. Yeah, but then we find out, I was glad that I watched it again and then had a chance to pod about it, because Kristen is like, I had Carter come over and pick up the dogs because I just can't have them be around me when I'm sad because they will get sad. And I was like, whoa, damn.
Can you imagine if you thought about your dog like that? Like, that is not how I think about. My dog's not. I know that my dog has like 4 different thoughts a day. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot of complexity there.
Yeah. Like, I've had moments, the only like guilt moments that I've had with my dog where I'm like, oh, they might feel sad about this, is like if Tony's had to spend a lot of time in a crate because like I'm podcasting or doing something and he's like barking too much. But like, other than that, I'm like, I haven't gotten to engage with him enough. Like, but honestly, like, someone needs to tell Kristen that, like, when you're sad, that is what the dog is there for. To, like,
right. She's like, they're my emotional support animals. So I sent them away.
Yeah. I was like, honey, again, you are harming yourself at every turn.
Yeah.
Like, love your that. Sadness is not too much for an animal to handle, because an animal doesn't know what's really going on.
I love her logic.
The logic. Her brain.
Her mind.
Then we get to the softball game. And I actually was kind of like tickled by this game.
Oh, wait, mostly, you skipped my favorite part.
Oh,
you skipped
me.
Carter defending Kristen.
Oh, yeah.
And Brittany's like reading, Jax reads the text out loud. And Kristen, you know, in like the Grinch cartoon, when his smile goes from being like an inch wide to like going to his ears, Kristen just blossoms. Mm-hmm. And she's so happy and she can't hide it. And I just loved it so, so much. And Jax is also like, you can tell he's sort of getting horny about it. He's like, Kristen doesn't know like what's good for her. And you can just see his like dick getting hard. And I was like, this is what I live for. This right here.
The only reason that she had like the dogs taken away is that so she could call Carter because she was sad and tell him like, you got to get the dogs away. Like, I'm too sad. Can you just like come over? So then he could see how sad she was, and she's teeing up an opportunity to see if he'll take the Dodie bait. And then he did.
Right.
And so it's like her shining moment.
I loved it. I was so happy for her. That was the moment where I felt true, genuine happiness for one of the cast members.
I'm glad she's happy.
I loved that.
Have the best day ever.
Have the best day ever.
Sheena is literally a softball star, comes from a family of fame, born to be a celeb.
A star. Yeah.
Her Aunt Shirley was a Rockford Peach, which is like, why did we bury the lead on this information for the past 7 years of watching this show?
I think we need like a movie, like a vehicle for Sheena that's like a Ben Affleck like comeback vehicle, mm-hmm. of her getting back into softball. Like, it's like her grandma dies and then she has to like, she realizes that that's like her life's purpose and she starts like coaching girls softball and like rediscovers her passion.
Yeah. And she finds,
I really see that.
A romance with like one of the girls' dads, and that's Ben Affleck.
No, you're gonna say one of the girls. And then Sheena truly is a pedophile.
Yeah. No, she is a star and we are undeserving.
Yeah. She looked amazing. Like her, I don't know shit about fucking softball or baseball or whatever, but her pitching, I was like, yes, like I'm into this. This is doing it for me.
No, I was into it. And I also, because I too played softball from literally like T-ball age through high school. And so I have a real soft spot in my heart for like any softball girls. And of course, like Sheena and Charlie, the softball girls. And our Ariana had said that she like, I mean, she could hit like in the batting cages that one time. I don't know if she said she played softball, but like, I'm here for my softball girls is what I'm trying to say.
Softball girls. We need a spinoff. Softball girls.
I'm all about a softball girl.
Yeah.
James apologizes to Katie.
I'm happy for him. Like, I just was happy to see James. He gave the perfect apology, I thought. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought he really, like, acknowledged every aspect of it. Like, he took responsibility while also being like, I was drinking and I'm sorry that I hurt you and I'm really sorry. And I was like, crushing it. The best apology we've heard on the show in years.
Respectful king.
Better than any apology Schwartz has ever given her, really.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Schwartz has never.
Schwartz is like, I might have cheated on you. I don't know.
I kissed her. Bubba. I don't know.
Bubba.
No. Katie's refusal to participate in the softball game also was perfectly on brand and incredible. Yeah.
I liked her living her truth.
Yeah, I'm here for it. And then Raquel,
I hated the game,
but then I was like tickled. Raquel,
I hated every minute of it.
Also,
besides Raquel.
Yeah, it may not seem like it, but I am a competitive person.
I loved every moment of Raquel in this game. I want more of her in every episode. I was like, yes. She's like, how's, do you still want me off the team?
Still think I'm not worth trading? Dick. I was like,
Dick.
go off queen.
Yes.
I wrote, God, I love Raquel.
Same. I just wrote love in all capitals and Raquel. And then I also wrote support James.
Mm-hmm. Support him in his sober journey.
Yeah. And the whole like clean the bathrooms things, it was like lol, because the bathrooms at both of those establishments are never clean. I don't know. They're actually like impressively disheveled.
Finally, the Sir bathrooms will be clean for once, for an hour.
I doubt it. I doubt this ever, anyone ever cleaned anything.
This also ended on a really weird note. I wrote, Sir wins. Wow, I'm inspired and want to play softball.
What? Did someone make you write that? No, Lisa, like, was like, in your home, and she was like, pip, pip.
But then this episode ended on like a really dark note where Ariana literally hit herself in the face with a baseball bat. And I literally said, I go, oh no, out loud to myself while watching. That was horrible.
It was so weird. I was shielding my eyes like a child watching a horror movie. So I was like eating. And then I was like, oh, and I'm not normally like squeamish, but I just didn't like it.
No. A metal bat to the face is true. Like, I've seen that happen to people play when I was playing softball, and I even saw like one of my best friends like was playing catch with someone once, and someone threw a softball and it hit her right in the mouth, and it knocked all her teeth out. Not all of them, but like a lot of her front teeth.
I hate anything with regards to teeth.
Yeah, teeth are really like, sensitive.
I don't like that. And I don't need to see all that.
I don't need to see that. We got a sneak peek of next episode. And honestly, I wrote Brett's hair next episode. I'm out.
Everything. I'm in. Every part of me is in. I'm so ready for his bisexual hair moment. I just wrote in all capitals, Sheena's new music. Because that hasn't like been released yet.
I fucking also am obsessed with being like, the dynamic of them is wild to me, because he's been so rude to her, and like her response is to be like, he's my best friend, I love this boy, we hang out all the time. And then also like casting, he goes above and beyond the call of duty being like, I am not attracted to this woman, like I don't like her like that. But like, if she asked me to be in her music video and like wants to pretend to fuck me for like a full day, by all means, I'll do it. But then I will also complain about it afterwards and say that I was like taken advantage of. I'm just like, I love that Sheena has taken back the casting couch.
Sheena's gonna get me-too'd.
Brett is trying to me-too Sheena.
He is. And she's like, that's acting, honey. So what?
That's the biz.
In your mouth.
Yeah, this is Hollywood, baby. Get used to it. I love Sheena.
Get used to it.
Yeah.
What were the lyrics for the song or something amazing? Like it was like something like, it was like, put that body on me. Like,
I don't know. I'm ready for it.
I don't know. I'm so ready. I hope she releases it next week, because immediately I checked it out. And I couldn't find any information about the track. So I was like, it must be released next week with the show, because she's an expert businesswoman.
Well, we all have something to live for now.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah. Next episode looks like it has some potential. I want nothing more than someone, you know, Felix did this podcast, right? Yes.
Yeah.
He had tweeted like, Jax is about to snap and have his longest fidelity streak ever. Because of quarantine. Like, he was like, he's gonna lose his mind and be so faithful. And so like, I really hope that we get to see glimmers of the Jax that could have been in his sicko mode.
This like reset Jax. Tony can't handle it. Oh, I think a squirrel just ran by. I think a squirrel ran by on the tree, and it's fucking over. Tones. No, it didn't do anything.
Good timing.
Great timing.
Well.
King of transition to the end of the podcast.
Thank you, Tony.
thank you so much for being my guest. You really helped me today more than you know.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for your public service. And thank you to everyone who's still watching this show.
I'm here to just give back to the community.
Now more than ever.
We need to stick together. We're in this together.
Solidarity.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we sing Imagine.
Yeah. Tell everyone where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter. And that's basically pretty much it.
Yeah.
that's all.
I love it. If you want bonus episodes, I just looked today and I think Patreon was saying they now give me like a count at the top of my page of like how many audio releases I have on my Patreon, which includes ad-free episodes, but a bunch of bonus episodes too. I have 313 audio releases on Patreon that you can get for $5 a month. So it's actually a very, Tony, please, worth it investment.
He's just dapping you up. He's just like
my hype man.
It's like 313.
313, you hear that? Whoop, whoop.
That's a whole catalog. You have a catalog.
Yeah, that's a full-blown like library.
If you want to access the archives and check some things out, then
by all means, get involved. patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. And with that, I bid you all farewell. Chrissy, stay strong.
Everybody stay strong. Thank you so much.
See you on the other side. Bye.
I know I'm feeling, cause I know.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.